We live in a culture of radical efficiency. I mean, we want our pizza delivered within 30 minutes, and if it's not there, hey, it better be free. We want our good pizza delivered within 30 minutes, and if it's not there, it needs to be free. We're interested in not five-day delivery, but two-day free delivery. We want faster, quicker Wi-Fi. You want faster, quicker sermons, right? Don't respond. Now, this topic of patience, quite honestly, it's a little more nuanced than that. It's a little more complicated than just being willing to wait. And so we're going to get into that here in just a moment. But the first thing I'd like to do is sort of put up a concept, a benchmark, and to let you know really who our patience role model really is. God Himself is our patience role model. He is. God's our patience role model. There's a statement said of the Lord throughout the Bible that this is repeated many, many times. And you read it this week if you did your believe reading out of Psalm 86. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Now let's keep this up here on the screen. This is how God's fundamental nature repeatedly in the Bible is described. What's He like? He's compassionate and gracious. He leans into you. He shows empathy and kindness. He knows our fallenness and our brokenness, and he loves us anyway. At the close of the statement, He's abounding. He's not small-hearted. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. He loves to be kind and gracious and generous to you. But right here in the middle, He's slow to anger. He can get angry. You defy Him. You curse Him. You reject Him. God's anger can be aroused. He's not a hothead, though. He doesn't fly off the handle. God doesn't show temper tantrums. God is slow to anger. Now, often when I read this, it's actually a reminder of this is the kind of person that I need to be growing into. Am I the kind of person who's compassionate and gracious, soft-hearted? Am I the kind of person who's slow to anger? And by the way, if you want to find out whether or not you're a slow to anger person, don't ask yourself that question. Ask the people who are around you most of the time that question. Abounding in love and faithfulness. Here's another description of God's patience. This is out of the New Testament book, 2 Peter. And it's found in a context where the Apostle Peter is teaching about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he said, Jesus is returning. He is coming back. He's going to set everything right. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven and hell are realities. They will have a beginning point. He's coming back. Now, there will be people who will tell you, oh, He's not coming back. He wasn't here 2 weeks ago. He wasn't here yesterday. He's not going to be here today or tomorrow. But Peter says these words, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is what? Patient with you. You know, there are times we want to pray, Lord, come quickly. But many times I want to pray, Lord, do not come quickly. Give us another day. Give us another week. Give us another year. We want more and more and more and more people to say yes to Jesus Christ. This is God's heart. He's patient. Listen to me. He's patient with you. And the even wins. Even when you have a track record of rebelling against Him, He's patient with you and He loves you. Even when you bring God a life and you would say, it's been a wasted life, He's patient with you. He loves you. Even when you have one regret after another, even when you're running to God as a last resort, His patience to you is incredible. In fact, this past Wednesday night, I preached a sermon in our uplift service from a New Testament parable that just talked about, get this, actually the absurd patience of God. Jesus told a parable that it's like this: nobody would be this patient. God is. And that patience is not to be something that we take lightly. It's to motivate us. I hope today you might be as eager for a relationship with God as He is with you. His love for you is amazing. Now, let's take a look about patience and take a look at patience in our lives. And patience really has, I think, three different looks to it, probably more, but here are three basic looks that I think are important for us to consider. What does the Bible have to say about patience? Quite a bit, actually. And the first type of patience that I think is important to talk about is what you might call everyday patience. And this is the kind of patience we need in one another. Otherwise, our relationships will just implode. They will. All right, here's a passage out of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 14, 29. A patient man, a patient woman, has great understanding, but a quick-tempered person displays folly or foolishness. Now, that word patient, it literally means long-tempered. We might say of somebody, you know, they've got a short fuse. To be a patient person, there's a longer fuse. Everybody in the room, we've seen videos, or maybe you've even seen something, a demolition live, where a building is about to be demolished, and there's typically a what? A countdown. And people are watching it, and before the explosion, there's the countdown. 10, 9, 8, and on it goes, and then comes the explosion. So my question to you is, how long is your countdown before the explosion? Do you start at 10 or do you start at like 2? 2-1 explosion. A patient person is a long-tempered person. Hopefully your countdown starts around 45 or so. All right, let's take a look at another passage here out of the book of Galatians chapter 5. I'm talking about everyday patience, but the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit encourages us in this. The Holy Spirit is cheering us on and helping us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. Putting up with more than you think you should. Choosing to be the most gracious person in the room. And without this, relationships just unravel and implode. Here's another scripture out of James chapter 1. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. What's he saying? Simply reflect before you react. Reflect before you react. Now, here's what pop psychology says. Pop psychology says, oh, no, you just got to vent. You got to ventilate. You got to get it out there. No filters, no muzzle. You just, whatever you feel, whatever you think, just put it out there or you'll explode. That's not true. Real psychology doesn't teach that. Pop psychology does. And the Bible says to reflect before you react. You don't want to get into the habit. You don't want your default to be reacting without a muzzle or filter. Because it goes on and he says in the very next verse that human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. All right, everybody. This is everyday patience. Everyday patience. And it's important because patience communicates what? It communicates love and respect. And so be very, very careful, my friends, thinking that you should never, ever have to wait on another person. Be very, very careful, my friends, thinking that everyone should be on your timeline. be very, very careful thinking that you should never, ever need to give other people time to grow. Everyday patience is key. And secondly, there's another kind of patience. This is another category of patience, and this has to do with circumstances that are really difficult. And here's what I'm talking about. Chronic pain. Disability. Being a caregiver for a person, for a family member or a friend, and your running point, or you have key responsibilities, or sometimes you're on 24/7, and you don't know when there's ever going to be some relief, if ever there will be any relief. This is enduring patience. It's patience over the long haul, patience over decades, and maybe for some of us, patience for a lifetime in a situation that may never change. And the Bible speaks to this kind of patience. This is beyond everyday patience. This is enduring patience, often referred to as perseverance. Reading from the book of James, chapter 5. You know, in your Bible reading this week, for example, you would have read the story of Job. James summarizes that story. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. And you've heard of Job's perseverance. And you've seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Some of you find yourself in a scenario where life has delivered some pain to your doorstep. Everyday patience, we need it with people. But enduring patience, we need that because we wrestle with the way of the world, with the way life works, what God is up to. And this is perseverance. And the literal picture is you have roots that have gone down deep, and they've made you solid and immovable. But these roots are not connected to anything in this world. These roots are connected to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5 talks about this as well. Not only so, but we also even glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Here, he talks about the kind of perseverance, the kind of enduring patience that gets to a point that says, whatever you throw at me, I'm not running away. My friends, I'm fully aware some of you are going through the endurance test today. Today. Something is going on in your life and it's incredibly difficult. You have no idea how it's going to turn out. And there are many things in this life I do not know, but I do know this. All of us, at some point, we have to choose between persevering and quitting. And we have to choose between hoping and despairing. And I believe there are good reasons to keep hoping. And I hope that you will keep going with all the grace and grit that you can muster, believing indeed that the Lord is good, that He is full of compassion and mercy. We need enduring patience. We need it for a lot of scenarios in life. And listen, you need it as a Christian. The New Testament book of Hebrews is written to a group of believers, some of whom are turning back from their Christian faith. Why are they giving up? A lot of different reasons. And the writer of Hebrews, and nobody really knows who the author of Hebrews is. Some say Paul. A lot of different possibilities. It reads like a sermon. But here's what the Hebrew writer will say to people. He says, you stand in a long, long line of people for whom this world is not worthy. It's not even worthy. Don't you give up. You persevere. You hang in there. Hebrews 10, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. My friends, you think it might be awesome to have your jersey retired and to hang on the rafters, the Toyota Center? Let me tell you, when you persevere as a believer, God's going to hang your jersey on the rafters of heaven. You will be richly rewarded. And my friends, this world's not worthy of you. You keep loving Jesus. You keep serving Jesus. You keep honoring Jesus. Don't you let anything get in the way of that. Everyday patience, enduring patience, and last of all, what I would call engaging patience. Engaging patience. And this is what I mean. Between the moment of your salvation and until you go to heaven, God's got stuff for you to do. He's got important things for you to do. I'm going to put a Bible verse up here that most of you are very familiar with, out of Ephesians 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, we all know this. This is the gospel message, God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And then he says, verse 10, get this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. In other words, God calls us and shapes us and expects us to rise up and act, are you listening? With patient activism. When was the last time you saw something broken or you saw a need in your family or in your neighborhood or in the church or in the world, and you said, somebody needs to do something about that, and you decided to put on your work gloves and do something about that? Listen, consider, if you would, the incredible impact your life has when you willingly convert some holy frustration into changing the world. When you convert a little felt uneasiness to making the world a better place. Let me walk through a couple of high-profile examples, and then I'll come down a little closer to home. Dr. Martin Luther King, assassinated 50 years ago this past week. Dr. Martin Luther King had a PhD in systematic theology from Boston University. He took on the cause of what? Nonviolent opposition to racial injustice. He knew that was not a three-month job where after 3 months the task is done and you could just stamp it, problem fixed. But here's what he did. He engaged with patience. Mother Teresa goes to Calcutta to serve the poor. Likewise, she didn't take on that challenge because she thought, you know, after 3 months, we can just sort of tie a bow on this. This task is done. No. Otis Gatewood, well-known missionary in Churches of Christ circles, after World War II, goes into Germany after the Cold War, goes into the former Soviet Union, and just starts building Christians, starting churches, moving in. His legacy and influence still ongoing. But he never went there saying, you know, this will be, after a year, I think we can just sort of tie a bow on this. Listen, my friends, the work that we do, the good works we're called to do, every single good work we're called to do, are you listening? It will have problems. There will be weeds in the garden. Things will get broken. They'll have to be fixed. There will be people involved you'll have to be patient with. You'll have to suffer longer than you think is reasonable. There will be problems you'll have to persevere through, but you will do so because the cause is worth it. And you engage the cause and you're patient with it. You persevere with it. Look in on our Sunday school classes some Sunday morning. With all of our, let me just pick out the children's classes for a moment. Look in our children's Sunday school classes some Sunday morning. And you'll see a lot of people teaching in there, a lot of men, a lot of women with gray hair. They've been doing it a long time. Let me ask you something. Do you think they've never dealt with a child that had way too much energy? Do you think they've never dealt with a curriculum change that they didn't really like? Do you think they've never dealt with a classroom situation that was less than ideal? Of course they have. But they said, you know what? We're willing to be patient with people. We're willing to persevere through problems because the cause is worthy of our engagement. Here's what you can do. And it's your choice. You can be the kind of person where you sit around the campfire with your friends and you complain about what goes on in the world and elsewhere. Or you could roll up your sleeves and actually get engaged in making, take some of that holy frustration, that felt uneasiness. You know, I just don't like the way people are raising kids these days. Well, raise yours differently to the glory of God. Listen, anytime somebody writes a check to a worthy cause, you're engaging. Anytime somebody shows up in the church, anytime somebody shows up to a relief agency with a "I'm here to serve" mentality, and you do so after working your quote-unquote real job after 40, 60 hours a week, you are engaging and you're doing so with patience. Anytime somebody approaches your real job with the kind of mindset that says, "I'm not just here for a paycheck, I'm here to actually make as much of a difference as possible for the kingdom of God," that's engaging. And whenever you engage patiently, knowing there are always weeds in the garden, always something to be fixed, always people with whom you'll have to be to show everyday patience, problems you'll have to persevere through. But it's worth it. All right. So what now? How do we grow patience? Answer, you don't worry. The school of patience will find you. Okay? Morgan Freeman was in a Hollywood film where he played the role of God. And he said these words, "If someone prays for patience, do you think God just gives them patience? Or do you think he gives them the opportunity to be patient?" I believe challenges in life build virtue in us. And one of those virtues is patience. That family member, that work associate, that's a little annoying, is God's gift to you. God's gift to you to teach you patience. You know, I have a pet peeve, and it's the kind of thing you go to a store, and, you know, there are 45 checkout counters, and they've got two open, and these long lines, and we're standing there in line, and if I'm there with Martha, I'm getting antsy, and I'm turning around, and I'm looking for a manager, and she's saying, "Calm down, be patient, just relax." And I have learned over time that there is something I can do besides being annoyed and aggravated and agitated. And without trying to sound too super spiritual, you really can lean into God in those moments where, okay, I need to learn patience here. And you know what I can do? You know what we can do? We can pray for one another. I can stand, I need to pray for my wife. I'm going to pray for Mark. I'm going to pray for my grandkids by name. I'm going to pray for our Foster Creek campus. I'm going to pray for our First Colony campus. In fact, sometimes the line is so long, you can go through the entire church directory, you know? But when life doesn't go just the way you would write the script, that's the school of patience. And just remember, no one has ever been more patient with you or me than God Himself. And He invites us into the school. Everyday patience, enduring patience, engaging patience.